Live from WRAL News Headquarters in Raleigh, your number one source for local news. WRAL News, coverage you can count on.
All is quiet for us right now, but we do have a strong cold front on the way, going to bring in some much colder weather for the weekend. We'll talk about temperatures coming up.
And congressional leaders have avoided another shutdown. More about the spending deal and why some leaders say both parties should start to work together. We'll talk about that and a lot more on your finally Friday morning. Thanks for joining us. I'm Michelle McConaughey.
And I'm Jeff Hovedan. Thanks for spending the early part of it with us. Sun's up a little warmer than it has been the last couple of days for certain. And Anthony Baglione in the WRAL Severe Weather Center, you had mentioned about this time that the rain would be moving out, and it has.
Yeah, it's all done for us. We're looking at nice and dry this morning, maybe just a little bit damp in some spots. Hey, guys, good morning to you again. Yes, we're chilly out there right now for us. Temperatures, hey, welcome back. Thanks for joining us this morning. A little bit of cloud cover still hanging around, guys, but we're looking nice and dry as we go through today. Temperatures are currently at 41 across the triangle at the freezing mark in Rock. Keep in mind, though, nothing additional falling for us. So I don't anticipate any frozen, icy issues, things like that. Low to mid 40s there down to the south currently. As our cold front comes through today, the wind gusts are going to kick up just a little bit. 25 miles per hour there, right around 3. And it'll stick with us probably about 20 to 30 through the day itself. That will keep our feels like values more like the mid 40s today. Getting even colder through the weekend. 35 tomorrow, 41 on Sunday. Feels like temperatures tomorrow morning in the teens, Sunday morning in the single digits. So if you have anything going on, just make sure to bundle up. Of course, remember those pets, things like that. We talk about our wind chill value there, 25 into tomorrow afternoon. We'll go over, though, the flip side of this when we could see a warmer pattern, Brian, here in just a few minutes.
All right, Anthony, it is now 8:02 as we take a look at traffic. Still watching this crash over on the east side of Durham at 885 southbound at Carr Road near the US 70 interchange there on the southbound side of 887. Apparently, the left lane remains blocked in that area. Still seeing some pretty solid delays beginning between Cheek Road and Holloway Street all the way down toward that Carr Road interchange. You might consider using Miami Boulevard itself from Holloway Street as a better alternate route there. Maybe 885 to Holloway, Holloway to Miami Boulevard, and then continue on your way. About a 9-minute delay showing up right now on the southbound side of 885 due to that crash. As soon as you get through that, heading on down to the 147 merge and beyond, traffic's flowing pretty freely. I've been watching a crash on 40 westbound around the US 1440 interchange. It looks like that is largely cleared at this point. There's a look at the nearest working DOT camera out at I-40 at Avon Ferry Road with westbound traffic heading away from us. We're picking up an 8-minute delay overall on 40 westbound from 440 out to US 1, but a lot of that is just the usual congestion we see this time of day. Look out for a crash in the clearing stages in Morrisville on McCrimmon Parkway at Church Street. It looks like that has largely been cleared at this point, but there still may be a little lingering activity there. Major approaches into Durham are looking all right as we take a look at those sensor readings. About a 2-minute delay on southbound 501 coming in from Infinity Road toward I-85.
All right, thank you, Brian. We are learning new information about a death investigation that closed Zebulon Road in Wake County for hours overnight. We now know that deputies found a man with a gunshot wound just after 9 o'clock last night. Witnesses told deputies the vehicle the man was in ran off the road, hit an embankment, and overturned. He was pronounced dead at the scene. This is video from the WRAL Breaking News Tracker as deputies investigated there until 3 o'clock this morning.
Families in Durham are dealing with bus driver delays today and just not showing up, finding different ways to get their kids to school is what parents have to do because dozens of those drivers are striking over their pay. WRAL's Kelsey Coffey is at the Durham Public Schools bus depot this morning, and many of those buses are not going to be running today. It's a big burden on the parents.
Jeff, right now, there are at least 10 buses that are sitting in the depot. We're still working to find out whether these buses are sitting here because strike or just here for maintenance. But today marks the third day that the district is asking parents to find their children another ride to and from school. This strike is a result of recent salary changes across the district. More than 100 employees showed up to a meeting with administrators yesterday demanding answers about their pay. So here's the issue. Some staff members say they were given bonuses that now have to be taken back because they were either overpaid or their raises were too high. Some employees say their salaries were affected by a change in policy based on years of experience. They say the district is now only paying people for their years of service within the school district, not in other places.
I was at 26 years of overall experience. I'm down to 2 years of experience. A man right here was at 44 years.
44 years, I dropped down to 7.
Bus drivers aren't the only employees that are being impacted by this. This salary issue is also affecting every other classified worker within the school system. Kelsey Coffey, WREL News, live in Durham.
And this morning, thousands of people in Durham are waking up with power once again. Just after midnight, Duke Energy crews restored heat and lights to the final customers more than 30 hours after an equipment problem at a substation knocked out power during one of the coldest times of the year. That forced drivers to navigate streets without functioning stoplights. Business owners also took a hit as well, many people turning to warming centers and emergency shelters to escape their cold homes. Duke Energy crews were making upgrades to the area's substation when they damaged it. That triggered the outage.
Today, Apex Police will give new details about the shooting that happened earlier this week that left two women dead. Police Chief Jason Armstrong will hold a news conference at 11 o'clock this morning. He's expected to be giving updates on the investigation and read statements from the victims' families. Police say Harry Hardman shot and killed the women, Gabrielle Raymond and Nancy Taylor. It happened in the South Walk community of Apex Monday afternoon, and Hardman is facing murder charges.
Looking at a snowy Washington, D.C. this morning. This is the Capitol Hill where Congress passed a short-term spending extension bill on Thursday, successfully avoiding a government shutdown for now. President Biden is expected to sign it tonight. As Amy Kiley reports, lawmakers are focused on working together.
Nobody wants to vote for a CR. It's always going to be like that.
Maybe not, but a continuing resolution to fund the government is through Congress just in time to avoid a partial shutdown tonight.
My colleagues and I worked late into the evening.
Now a stroke of the president's pen creates new funding deadlines of March 1st and 8th.
Is it enough time? We're months beyond the timeline.
Republicans are quick to reiterate their to-do list.
We should be getting closer to a final budget agreement.
We need to make certain that we stem the flow at the border.
To make sure that we don't bankrupt the greatest country in the history of humanity.
Lawmakers are showing signs they could cooperate on those issues. Senate Majority Leader Chuck Schumer and House Speaker Mike Johnson have some agreement on the budget. Leaders from both parties say they want to address the migrant crisis, and some Democrats argue controlling the national debt could help protect programs like Social Security, Medicaid, and Medicare.
Social Security is on life support today.
But passing bills aimed at those issues requires bipartisanship.
For some, doing nothing is an option. To me, that is not an option.
I'm Amy Kiley reporting.
Today, ballots start going out to more than 5,000 North Carolinians who have already requested to vote by mail this year. State Elections Director Karen Brinson Bell says the biggest issue facing voters this year is new voter ID rules. Voter photo identification officially started in last year's municipal elections, but the 2024 presidential election is going to be most people's first experience with it. Officials are hoping to get the public educated now on the new rules to help this year's elections go as smoothly as possible.
We expect and hope for a lot of citizen involvement and strong turnout for not only the primary but the general election.
And for more information on the upcoming elections and the new voter ID rules, you can visit WREL.com.
New this morning, we've learned a Republican-led House committee has asked Defense Secretary Lloyd Austin to testify about his decision to not notify leaders of his recent hospitalization. Austin has been asked to testify in person before the panel on February 14th. Austin and the Pentagon have been under scrutiny after failing to notify the White House or Congress that the secretary was hospitalized on New Year's Day. Austin was admitted to Walter Reed Military Medical Center after complications from a prostate cancer procedure that he had in December.
UNC Chapel Hill's new interim chancellor is talking about some of his goals moving forward. Lee Roberts addressed the media for the first time after Thursday's meeting of the Board of Trustees. He talked about his role during this transition period and also touched on the issue of student mental health following last year's shooting on campus that claimed the life of a university professor.
We need to do a better job of making sure that students, grad and undergraduate students, as well as faculty and staff, are aware of the broad array of resources that are available now.
Robert says he's already had discussions with student leaders as well as the Dean of Graduate Studies about how mental health remains a top priority for the university.
The president got a taste of North Carolina during his Raleigh. Coming up, his trip to Cookout with Governor Cooper. Anthony?
And Michelle, we check out where we sit right now as far as our wind speeds are concerned. Relatively calm for us, but they're going to start to increase as we go through today. A very strong cold front is on the way, and it's going to have impacts for our weekend. We'll talk about what they will be coming up. Welcome back on this Friday morning. We are tracking a cold front that's going to come through this afternoon. Pretty evident kind of where this front is situated right now. It's a balmy 10 degrees in Chicago, currently negative one in Minneapolis. Right about the western parts of our state is where the front is. It's going to come through this afternoon, and probably you'll notice the wind speeds kicking up. And then as we head into tomorrow, that is really where you'll notice it, with the temperatures kind of dipping behind it. 41 currently in Raleigh and Durham. We're at the freezing mark in Roxborough. But thankfully, the rainfall has pushed out. Anything is not falling, of course, from the sky, so we're not going to see any icing issues in Roxborough, and roads have managed to kind of dry out just a little bit too. 45 in Fayetteville, 46 in Clinton, with a beautiful shot right now showing up in Durham. A little bit of cloud cover off in the distance. This has kind of been the theme for us this morning. It's just been mostly cloudy for most of us out there. It starts to push on out, though, here this morning, and we should see a good amount of sunshine. And then as we head into tonight, we may see a few more clouds coming in. Here's a look at the wind gust forecast, though. You notice kind of where that front starts to get close, maybe gusting 25 to at the most, maybe 30 this afternoon miles per hour. And then we get into this evening right about 17 there at 10 o'clock. So that will have an impact as far as our wind chill factor is concerned. Really kind of the more important number this time of the year, feeling like 41 at lunchtime, 44 close to 2 o'clock, and then right back down to freezing here if you're headed out this evening, maybe going to the Canes game, taking the dog out, just wanted to get some fresh air. You'll likely want to have all the winter gear tonight. We're at 50 today. On the whole, really not too bad temperature-wise, but we go into tomorrow and Sunday. This is really where you'll feel that cold front. A lot of times it takes us a day or two to kind of get all of that colder, denser air in place. Once it's here, it's going to come in big time. 35 on our Saturday, feeling like 26, feeling like 36 on Sunday. Morning feels like values, though. If you're up and at them, let's say even 6, 10 a.m., 8 a.m., kind of in that time period, it will still be feeling like the teens for most of us, even a few single digits out there. Here's a look at Saturday. 13 degrees at 8 a.m. We go to 25 into the afternoon. Most of the day, we have the sunshine, which will help out just a little bit, but I think it's still going to be frigid for us tomorrow morning. 35 on our Saturday. We're at 41 on Sunday. Sunshine sticks with us through both days. Then we get into Wednesday and Thursday. Hard to believe temperatures there, guys, back near 70 degrees as we get into Wednesday, Thursday. And it does, though, come with a shot at some rainfall there, Brian, both of those days.
All right, Anthony, just about 8:15 right now. Still watching this crash in Durham on 885 southbound, right around the Carr Road 70 interchange there. As we take a look at the latest sensor readings, it looks like those delays are still pretty solid from the Holloway Street area down towards 70 and Carr Road. You can see the backups there beginning just before you get to Holloway Street. You might consider using from west of 885, using Miami Boulevard to get back down to the 885-70 interchange down there. A little bit of improvement, though, as we take a look at those sensor readings on the southbound side, now seeing about a 5-minute delay. And on the northbound side, unrelated congestion there from the Cornwallis and T.W. Alexander exits up toward Ellis Road, about a 4-minute slowdown showing up overall. Taking a look around the rest of the triangle, pretty quiet morning in Wake County. Most of our major routes are in good shape, just a couple of minor incidents not causing any big problems. Want to give you a quick heads up in Knightdale. Starting at 9 o'clock, they're going to be closing a section of Smithfield Road right around McKnight Drive. They're doing some work out there on the Mingo Creek Trail extension. They think it's going to be closed for a couple of hours this morning. So if you have any mid-morning travel plans there on Smithfield Road, just south of 64 Business or Knightdale Boulevard, keep that in mind. There will be a detour in place.
And just into the WRAL Live Center, we have new information from Durham Police about two shootings that happened last night, 7 minutes apart. The first happened just minutes before 8 p.m. Officers responded to a shooting in the 900 block of Fayetteville Street. There they found a man who had been shot. That man was taken to the hospital with non-life-threatening injuries. And then at 8:05, 7 minutes later, officers responded to a shooting in the 800 block of Liberty Street. That's where officers located a
female under the age of 18 who had been shot, and that person was taken to the hospital with life-threatening injuries. At this point, police don't know whether the two are related. That's something they are looking into, and we'll let you know more information as soon as we get it. All right, thanks, Renee. Today is a remote learning day at North Carolina A&T in Greensboro. After 2 days without heat in dozens of buildings there, the university says the heating problem was cleared up Thursday afternoon. That's after students spent 2 days out of their residence halls because of a lack of heat. University officials say mechanical problems knocked out heat to 30 buildings. The school worked with hotels to find temporary housing for more than 500 students. Hundreds more chose to stay with family or friends. And the EPA will decide whether the coal ash in Chapel Hill is a threat to human health or the environment. Right now, the presence of coal ash is underneath the Chapel Hill Police Department. The town is working to move the department. Late last year, a petition was made in an effort to get the EPA to investigate the coal ash site. This week, the agency confirmed the petition met federal requirements. It'll start with a visit to the site and a review of documents related to the property. It's expected to start within the next year.
This is a story we first brought you as breaking news yesterday morning. A grandmother and two of her grandchildren are recovering after being pulled from the second story of a smoke-filled home. That fire broke out Wednesday night on Christina Street, not far from Fort Liberty. Kiara Galarza was taking a break from work. She works from home, and she noticed smoke coming from the garage. She managed to get out safely, but her four-month-old and 10-year-old daughters, along with their grandmother, were upstairs, all of them, and overcome by smoke. They had to be pulled from the second-story windows by firefighters.
Then they pulled them out. They had black stuff out of their nose. So they pulled my mom out like 15 minutes later. So I can't imagine if the girls couldn't breathe. I can't imagine it with the damage my mom has.
All three are being treated for smoke inhalation at UNC hospitals in Chapel Hill. Investigators are trying to determine how that fire started.
A dog named Ollie is drying off after an attempt to catch a goose went awry. Oh my goodness. Ollie's owners say they were on a walk near the St. Joseph River in Indiana when Ollie saw a goose. He chased after the bird and ended up falling right into the river. The local fire department came to the rescue and saved Ollie from the water. Now he's at home. He's warm. He's safe. But his owners say he's upset that the goose got away. Well, the number of threats against members of Congress is on the rise. U.S. Capitol Police say elected officials faced more than 8,000 threats last year. That is up 500 from 2022. Capitol Police say they investigated threatening statements and direct threats sent by email, mail, and social media, as well as by phone. Authorities say the number of threats against lawmakers tends to increase during an election year. The Duke Endowment is giving out $175 million in higher education grants. It's doing that to mark a century of giving back throughout our state. Duke University will get $100 million. Davidson College, Furman University, and Johnson C. Smith University will get $25 million in grants. December 11th will mark 100 years since James B. Duke created the endowment. It's dedicated to support grantees and partners, educate, promote health, and also take care of children.
Today in entertainment news, icons of the silver screen and the soccer pitch arrive on video game platforms and a streaming service. David Daniel has details in our Hollywood Minute.
Throughout history, mankind has built sites of great spiritual significance. If you were to draw a line through these ancient sites around the globe, you get a perfectly aligned circle.
Step into the well-worn shoes of Indiana Jones. Here's your first look at Indiana Jones and the Great Circle, a narrative-driven video game set between the events of Raiders of the Lost Ark and The Last Crusade, coming for Xbox, PC, and Game Pass later this year.
Football is part of the Argentinian DNA.
Come 2022, the pressure was on Lionel because he'd never delivered ultimate glory on the world stage.
It's a miss!
A superstar seeks to define his legacy in the first trailer for Messi's World Cup, The Rise of a Legend. The four-part documentary series traces his remarkable career with Argentina's national team, culminating in the 2022 World Cup. Messi's World Cup debuts February 21st on Apple TV+.
Jim Carrey celebrated his 62nd birthday this week with a star-studded guest list. Comedian Jeff Ross shared this photo with the caption, "The Last Laugh Supper," on his Instagram. Jimmy Kimmel, Adam Sandler, and Princess Bride star Carrie Elwes were all there to celebrate. You might also see David Spade there, Howie Mandel, Bill Burr, Seth Green, Craig Robinson. They were all there. I can only imagine the conversations that were had at that table. Amazing.
During President Biden's visit to Raleigh, he made time to experience a North Carolina staple. He went to Cookout. The president ordered a bacon cheeseburger, French fries, a black and white milkshake, this vanilla shake, chocolate syrup. Governor Cooper was right there with him through it all.
Well, do you men have a better sense of direction than women? Find out what a new study is saying. That's next.
As you get into your car, tune to WRAL News Plus on your radio in Raleigh on 99.3 FM, in Durham 96.5 FM, and everywhere on 101.5 HD3.
Good morning and happy Friday. Time now is 8:26. I'm Michelle McConaughey. Starting off chilly this morning, but a little warmer than we did yesterday. Meteorologist Anthony Baglione here. Going to get into the 50s today.
Yeah, our normal is 52 for this time of year. We're going to be just below that here this afternoon. 35 as we get into our Saturday, 41 on Sunday. So after a really chilly weekend, we rebound into next week, and we're going to get close to 70. Hard to believe by the time we get to Wednesday and Thursday. 41 as we go into our Sunday. Feels like values, especially during the morning, likely in the teens, if not single digits. So if you're out and about early or just through the day, make sure to plan for that cold. We slowly start to get back up there into the upper 60s on Thursday with a few rain showers, Brian.
827, Anthony, we're still following this crash on 885 southbound just before you get to the Carr Road exit there. Good news, though, in the past couple of minutes, it looks like they've made a lot of progress getting this cleared up. All of those delays along 885 southbound from Holloway Street on down to that Carr Road US 70 interchange have cleared. You can see that beyond that, if you're getting down toward Ellis Road and TW Alexander Drive on the southbound side of 885, you're still seeing about a 3-minute delay, but around the crash site itself, traffic is flowing freely. And on the northbound side of 885 from I-40 up toward the 147 split, we're seeing about a 5-minute slowdown. Elsewhere around Wake County, our major routes are all looking pretty good. Only a couple of minor crashes not causing any big problems, Michelle.
All right, thanks, Brian. Today, Apex Police will give new details about the shooting earlier this week that left two women dead. Police Chief Jason Armstrong will give updates on the investigation and read statements from the victims' families. The suspect, Harry Hardman, is facing murder charges. Next on Fox 50, another government shutdown has been avoided. How lawmakers are showing signs that they work better together.
Shot in 4K ultra high definition. Your number one source for local news. WRAL News. Coverage you can count on.
We've got a little bit of cloud cover out there for us right now ahead of a very strong cold front that comes through today. Coming up, we'll talk about our Arctic temperatures on the way for the weekend.
This morning, Durham Public Schools is asking parents for the third day in a row to handle their students' transportation to and from school as bus drivers continue to go on strike. Coming up, why these drivers say they're fed up.
Absentee ballots are being sent to thousands of North Carolinians today. The efforts to make sure the public is educated about the new rules to help elections go as smoothly as possible.
Yeah, we're not far into it, but 2024, an election year.
Yeah.
We're glad you're with us on this Friday. I'm Jeff Hogan.
And I'm Michelle McConaughey. Thanks for joining us. Starting off, not so bad. I had the same coat on as I did yesterday, but I didn't have to walk quite as quickly because it wasn't as cold this morning.
Yeah, needed an umbrella earlier, but not
yes.
now.
Yes, yeah, yeah. Meteorologist Anthony Baglione with a look over RDU. Not a bad day to travel.
Really not a bad day, no. We have a few light snow showers up toward, let's say, the Ohio Valley that could cause some travel issues. But if you're out flying today, once you get above these clouds, it's blue sky galore. Tons of sunshine for us, and most of us will see a lot of sunshine here for the majority of the day. We're at 41 currently. Good morning to both of you. Raleigh, Durham, 41 in Southern Pines, right around that freezing mark as we head up toward Roxborough. It is going to take us just a second to get temperatures to warm up, kind of mix the atmosphere up just a little bit, if you will. Once we do, though, high temperatures today should go for right about 50. It will feel colder than that, though. You factor in the wind speeds, probably gusts gusting up to about 25 to 30 miles this afternoon. Miles per hour, we're going to see probably a wind chill factor of 44 right after lunchtime. If you're headed out tonight, let's say going to the Canes game, it should be nice and quiet, clear skies, but feeling like the 20s. And then by tomorrow morning, we're going to be feeling like the single digits and teens for us. Afternoon wind chill values at 26 tomorrow, 36 on Sunday. A warm up, though, beyond that. We'll go over the details for that one coming up here in a few minutes, Brian.
It is 8:32 right now, Anthony. Let's take a look at traffic, where we're looking pretty good overall around the triangle this morning. We're still tracking some lingering delays, perhaps on 40 westbound as you head through South Raleigh. Here's a look at that live camera out at Avon Ferry Road with traffic heading out toward the US 1 interchange. And it looks like with our live sensor update, even those lingering delays have cleared. We're in good shape right now, it appears, from 440 out toward US 1. That earlier crash in Durham on 885 southbound right around Carr Road has cleared. Traffic now is flowing freely, so that's some good news. Taking a look around Raleigh, there is a minor crash reported in a parking lot there on Rock Quarry Road just north of I-40. Not seeing any delays in that area. Other major approaches into Raleigh looking pretty good. No trouble on I-40 in either direction. I am watching a 4-minute delay on the southbound side of Capitol Boulevard as you come in from Wake Forest down toward the 540 interchange. We'll scoot over to Durham, take a look at those major approaches. Again, everything is cleared up nicely on 885. Just a little bit of a northbound delay as you head up toward Cornwallis Road with congestion in that area. And coming in from the northern side of Wake County right now on westbound 98, it's about a 3-minute backup from Highway 50 out to the 885 interchange.
We're getting some new information from the Wake County Sheriff's Office this morning about a death investigation that closed Zebulon Road in Wake County for hours overnight. We now know deputies found a man with a gunshot wound there just after 9 o'clock last night. Witnesses told deputies they saw a vehicle that the man was driving in run off the road and flip over. He was pronounced dead at the scene. And this is video from the WRO Breaking News Tracker as deputies investigated until 3 o'clock this morning.
Today, families in Durham are facing challenges at the bus stop for a third straight day. Dozens of bus drivers are staying off the job, protesting concerns with their pay. WRL's Kelsey Coffey explains the school district wants parents to find different ways to get their kids to class.
Right now, there are at least 10 buses that are sitting here in the depot. We're working to find out whether these buses are here as a result of the strike or if the buses are just sitting here for maintenance. But today marks the third day that the district is asking parents to find their children a ride to and from school. The strike is a result of recent salary changes across the district. More than 100 employees showed up to a meeting with administrators yesterday demanding answers about their pay. So here's the issue. Some staff members say they were given bonuses that have to be taken back because they were either overpaid or their raises were too high. Some employees say their salaries were affected by a policy change for years of service. They say now the district is only paying people for their years of service within the district, not in other places.
I was at 26 years of overall experience. I'm down to 2 years of experience. A man right here was at 44 years.
I dropped down to 7.
Bus drivers aren't the only employees who've been impacted by this. This salary change is impacting all classified employees across the school district. Kelsey Coffey, WRL News in Durham.
And we'll keep it in the Bull City because thousands of people there in Durham are waking up with their power back on finally. Just after midnight, Duke Energy crews restored the heat and lights to the final customers more than 30 hours after an equipment problem at a substation knocked out that power during one of the coldest times of the year. It forced drivers to navigate these streets without functioning stoplights. That's a danger. Business owners took a hit as well. And a lot of folks turned to warming centers and emergency shelters to get out of the cold of their homes. Durham Mayor Leonardo Williams expressed concern that this happened in East Durham, which has been plagued by outages. Several schools had to close as well because of an outage on January 10th. And WRAL has also covered outages in East Durham last August and October.
It's always seeming to be in these communities that are the more downtrodden neighborhoods, you know, the more adverse neighborhoods.
Energy crews were making upgrades to the area's substation when they damaged it, triggering that outage. Duke Energy spokesperson Jeff Brooks says plans were already in place to make the area less vulnerable, and that includes strengthening and upgrading poles and lines and implementing self-healing technology there.
And at the top of the hour, we told you Durham police are investigating a shooting on Liberty Street. We just learned from officers that the victim of that shooting is an 8-year-old girl. That girl is in stable condition in the hospital with life-threatening injuries. This happened around 8:05 last night. 7 minutes before that, there was another shooting on Fayetteville Street that injured a man. Police are trying to figure out if those two shootings are connected. We'll stay on top of this for you.
Oh, just terrible. Thanks, Renee. Today, President Biden is expected to sign a stopgap funding bill that will prevent a partial government shutdown. This is a live look at the U.S. Capitol, where lawmakers passed that bill Thursday ahead of tonight's deadline. The resolution creates new funding deadlines of March 1st and March 8th. In the meantime, lawmakers are showing signs they could cooperate on key issues. Senate Majority Leader Chuck Schumer and House Speaker Mike Johnson have some agreement on the budget. Leaders from both parties say they want to address the migrant crisis. And some Democrats argue controlling the national debt could help protect programs like Social Security, Medicaid, and Medicare.
President Biden is back in Washington this morning after a visit to Raleigh yesterday. While he was here, he announced an $82 million investment to expand internet broadband in North Carolina. This would affect an additional 16,000 homes and businesses in our state. He also talked about a focus on infrastructure, including the proposed Raleigh to Richmond rail line and bridges in the Outer Banks. The president also talked about the economy, saying our country has had the strongest growth rate and lowest inflation rate of any major economy in the world. Price increases on a lot of items are leveling off some of the inflation highs in 2022, and Biden believes we will see improvement.
Wages are up. Household wealth is up, not only for middle-class Americans, for Latinos, for Black Americans, for minorities. Costs are still too high, but inflation continues to fall, and mortgage rates are falling, and they're going to fall more.
Not everyone feels as hopeful about this as the president does, though. State House Speaker Tim Moore said, in part, the president should take notes from North Carolina Republicans and our economic success rather than spend taxpayers' dollars touting failed Bidenomics.
Today, Apex Police will give new details about the shooting earlier this week that left two women dead. Police Chief Jason Armstrong will hold a news conference at 11 o'clock this morning. He's expected to give updates on the investigation and read statements from the victims' families. Police say Harry Hardman shot and killed the women, Gabrielle Raymond and Nancy Taylor. That happened in the South Walk community Monday afternoon. He's facing murder charges.
Newly released federal search warrants are giving a closer look at the suspected UNC Chapel Hill shooter's actions in the days leading up to that August shooting. The warrant shows the suspected shooter, Tyler Chi, visited a Wake County shooting range in the days before the shooting. In his application paperwork for the range, he listed Zijia Yen as an emergency contact of his. Yen is the professor police say he killed in that campus shooting. The warrants also show Chi bought a gun and 9mm bullets days before that shooting.
Today, ballots start going out to the more than 5,000 North Carolinians who have already requested to vote by mail this year. State Elections Director Karen Brinson Bell says the biggest change for voters this year is new voter ID rules. Requiring a photo ID at the polls officially started in last year's municipal elections, but the 2024 presidential election is going to be most people's first experience with it. Officials are hoping to get the public educated now on the new rules to help this year's elections go as smoothly as possible. We all know the stereotype that men are better with directions than women, but is this true? Coming up, why a new study proves it might be.
Plus, a classic cookie is headed to the cereal bowl. Coming up, the return of the 90s classic Oreo Mega Stuffed Cereal.
How about this for a beautiful look on your Friday morning? A live look at Wrightsville Beach. Oh my goodness, gorgeous sunrise this morning. Feeling a little chilly out there. It is warmer than yesterday, and we're going to warm up into the 50s. Meteorologist Anthony Baglione here showing us what's going on across the area. Lots of snow up to the north.
Yeah, a lot of lake effect snow here in a large part of this part of the country here. We have a couple low pressure systems to talk about in our direction, but I wanted to take you up here to Lake Michigan for a second. This is a really interesting interesting feature that's getting going. You notice this band right there. It's almost a whole bunch of little bands kind of put together. That's lake effect snow heading toward a place like South Bend, Indiana, even toward Chicago. We look at how far that stretches. It is 250 miles worth right across the lake. So this is just a very perfect setup for lake effect snow. You have all of that kind of wind going across the lake. It adds to the lake effect snow potential, and they're looking at a decent amount of some snow up there. We are looking at a nice quiet radar, though, for us here at home. We had the rainfall this morning. It has since pushed out. We're going to see a calm day in that regard, but we do have some blustery conditions on the way today. We are still at 32 in Roxborough. It's been at that mark for here probably the past hour. We're going to take us a little bit of time to warm up. 47 in Clinton, 41 in Raleigh. We're at 45 in Goldsboro. Wind gusts, though, because of the cold front that you saw on the map right there and kind of the same system causing the lake effect snow up north, we're going to see our wind gusts kick up just a little bit today. Likely at the highest, maybe 30 mile per hour gusts, but probably 20 to 25 for most of us. It's not going to be super windy, but what that will do is add just enough of a wind to kind of make it feel colder out there, making it feel like 45 this afternoon, 26 as we head into tomorrow. A pretty clear divide there with that front coming through. Actual high temperature at 35, 41 on Sunday. Thankfully, it will come with sunshine both days. Maybe a few clouds tomorrow, but we're not looking at a ton of cloud cover this weekend. It's just going to be chilly for where we should be this time of year. When we go beyond that, though, we've been mentioning a warm up into next week, just about the entire country under these above normal temperatures. Our normal's 52. I have us in the 60s, close to 70 by the time we get into Wednesday of next week, a huge swing compared to this weekend. So if you don't like the cold temperatures, just give it a little bit of time, and I got a better forecast for you next week. 35 there on our Saturday, 41 on Sunday. We slowly start to warm up there, close to 70, guys, by the time we get into Thursday. It does, though, come with cloud cover and some more rainfall potential next week. We'll be watching that, but it looks like just regular old rainfall at this point.
Circus is in town. The Dub Portugal Circus is visiting North Raleigh through January 28th. And that is where we find WRL Lifestyle Editor Kathy Hanrahan this morning for us. And Kathy, at the Triangle Town Center, how's it going out there? Give us a preview of what's going on there in case folks want to go out there.
I can't believe I'm standing outside of like the Saks Fifth Avenue parking lot, you know, right now. I'm transported to an amazing place right now. Dub Portugal Circus is here through January 28th, and I'm standing here with these amazing dancers and artists. I've got Hannah Lamb here. She is an aerial artist. And what do you do in the show?
Hi, so I am an aerial performer. I've got the aerial hoop presenting at the moment on tour.
So tell me a little bit about the circus. If people have not seen this particular circus before, what can people expect?
Okay, so you can be thrilled because it's full of acrobatics and dynamics. We have the Globe of Death with their deathly riders, and we have clowns and jugglers and aerialists and lots of magic and illusions for you and plenty of surprises.
It sounds pretty amazing. So tell me a little bit about the history of this circus and how long has it been touring?
Okay, so this is a fifth generation circus, so it has been around for quite a while. I think approximately about 30 years, so definitely a lot of experience here.
Wow, and you've been touring the U.S. for I think about 4 or 5 years.
Approximately.
Yeah, that's kind of amazing to be able to do all of that. Now, how long have you been doing what you do?
Well, I started from a very young age, so my training started since I was about 8 years old, and I have been performing since 2007.
That's amazing. So you're on the aerial hoop, you're floating in the air, basically. It's just, it's an amazing act. What can people expect with their kids when they